Real Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Susie, Claire Schwab, and Evan Pearson. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drugged up tonight.
Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole tonight.
I'm making fun of you.
That was that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they got driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Rick and Roro ready to rumble. Oh, this is Rick ready to rumble on the Rick and Roro show on the 22nd of November 2025. Can you believe it? 22nd of November, and it's the 56th episode. But that's not, again, we've done a way more than that, but it's the 56th episode on truthmeets.com. Truthmeets.com. Can I hear Rollo in the room? Are you in the room, Rollo?
G'day, mate.
What a wonderful sound of your voice. Someone that's had a few drinks by the sound of it, but always sounds.
I've had a couple of vodka lime and sodas or Mogaloos.
Bottles of vodka. That's what you have to say. I've had one bottle of vodka.
I like to call them a Mogulies. They're just, that's just a fun, the carrot juice and
that carrot juice. It is funny. Joel was on the money there. Did you use AI to come up with that? No, that's a total.
You want to hear about the funny AI, the funniest AI.
No. I'm not interested in fucking AI. I want to talk about real things. So AI is for people.
Too much time on their hands.
Yep. Anyway, back to, so how was your week, Rollo?
Great. I watched the state funeral for John Laws on Channel 9.
Only because I told you about it the next day, you weren't even aware that there was a state funeral. You should have been there.
He got a state funeral.
A state funeral, yep.
A state funeral. That New South Wales government gave him a state funeral. And he deserved one too, I think. He was
a whore for politicians, and he got a lot of politicians elected, and big business,
Well, look. There are certain Rick and Roller.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Hello, 56. Rick and Roller,
56. Saturday the 22nd of November, 2025. Yeah. My week's been great. I got a promotion. I shed a tear or two when I watched on Channel 9. Can you believe Channel 9's audio was so bad when it came to John Law's state funeral? Velocet, his audio, when he does audios, it's absolutely perfect. Hello, Susie's joined us.
Susie, females are always welcome to pop in onto the Rick and Rollo show.
Yeah, for the sausage fest.
Well, keep talking.
The audio that Channel 9 gave out was so terrible for Lawsy's funeral. So much better, apparently. It was like half in the left ear and hardly anything out of the right. And I thought there was something wrong with my headphones or my speakers.
I tell you the
best part of his funeral was Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe's eulogy was just, awe-inspiring.
If you've watched Zoolander, it's called a eulogy.
Well, what he said, if Velocet comes in later, he maybe can play it, but he mentioned the cash for comment, and then what Russell Crowe did in his eulogy, then went on to plug his movie, the new movie, where he's a big fat Nuremberg. That's right. So he did that.
He's funny.
And they were neighbors and they were good mates. And he, what was the funniest thing he said? He said something like,
John Law's came.
He lived so long that he was not going to lose the gig.
I'll do it for you, Rollo. The vodka's getting into you already. Russell said that John had 20 years ago when they first moved in next door to each other, that giant expensive block of apartments at, he said, will you do my eulogy, John, Russell? And Russell said, sure, John, I'm honoured, I'll do it. And then he said, and then he proceeded to live longer and longer and longer. And he said that he was actually getting concerned that he wouldn't be able, he'd lose the gig because he was going to die before John Laws. That was funny.
That was hilarious. What about when he bought a present for Charlie?
It was 1 year old.
John Laws is 1 year old in 2004. And it was a bottle of Wild Turkey.
Yeah.
I bought him a bottle of Wild Turkey for his 1 year old kid. And then they proceeded to drink it.
I'll tell you the story how it happened. Russell said that when he grabbed it, he said, that's really heavy. He goes, it's only for a 1 year old. And then John said, Russell, have you opened Charlie's present yet? And he goes, no, I haven't. And he goes, maybe you better. And he walked over and he opened it up and there's a bottle, a big bottle. And not just a little bottle. This was one of those big bottles of Wild Turkey.
Which I thought was funny. Because they had farms on property. So they were neighbours basically, but they weren't neighbours like we know it.
They lived next door on that huge expensive pier. I think it was Pier 1 or Pier 3 at Woolloomooloo. They were former docks, you know, where the ships used to pull in. And they got converted into a huge, and I worked on the Phantom movie got filmed down there when Billy Zane's Phantom. And then they converted them into luxury, huge apartments right on the water under, right next to the Harbour Bridge. We're talking about, you know, $15, $20 million apartments and they had an apartment next door to each other. Yeah.
And he deserved it too. And it's funny that people think that Russell Crowe's Australian because he's actually a New Zealander, isn't he?
He is.
He is New Zealander.
I look at him and me and him are born within about, you know, like Keanu Reeves, another one, within weeks of each other. And when I look at Russell Crowe with his big grey beard and, You know, he just, I go, it can't be the same age as me, but I guess if I grew a beard, would it turn that gray? I hope not. I hope not. But he puts on the weight.
Mine's as gray as his. Yeah. He was looking really good. He was looking really good when he was doing that eulogy. I thought
Russell Crowe's
Mel Gibson, you know, everyone thinks he's Australian, but he's an American. He was born in New York.
Yep.
Everyone thinks Mel Gibson's an Australian.
With Nikki Kidman, she's born in Hawaii. Yeah.
She was born in Hawaii, so she's American too.
Yep.
Again, like, you know, it's fantastic. But Russell Crowe, I thought, was looking, I mean, he never looked as
But you know who he looks like. You know who he looks like, and he definitely modeled himself. He's Jack Thompson all over. Because Jack Thompson,
he was in that movie.
Jack Thompson was his mentor. Jack Thompson's Australia's most famous actor. All the women loved him. He was married to two women. Can you believe it? He
was a polygamist. Is that right?
Well, he lived the life that everyone. I've seen him at the. He's a big guy too. So, but Russell Crowe's a big guy as well. And you can see that Russell's modeled himself off Jack Thompson because they've both got incredibly great voices, booming deep voices.
Like John Laws. John Laws himself, the great man. Yeah.
To be honest, if you listen to John Laws back in the old days, he must use lots of compression.
He was a bit Ray Hadley-like, but he didn't have the proper mic. He didn't have the the golden microphone. When he got that Howard Stern microphone, and it really compressed his voice up and made him, and his voice really, really, really did sound.
We have to talk about the funniest thing because Ben Fordham, that 2GB.
Ben Fordham was
offhandedly commenting that. There's a story about that Laws was often get drunk when he was younger in the wild days of radio back and ride nude around on his Harley.
That's hilarious.
I cannot visualize that.
He got kicked out of Bendigo. When he was on Bendigo. I know some stories about Lawsy. He was in a relationship with a woman, a girl that was a little bit too young for him.
Sounds like Bond Scott.
Bond Scott
was jailed for carnal knowledge.
It wasn't rape, it was consensual, it was 16.
Bond Scott went to jail for that though. This is before he joined ACDC.
You're having sex with your childhood sweetheart and then your old man kicks you out of town. That's what happened to John Laws. He was kicked out of town by the old man was a police of the girl. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kicked him out. Yeah. And he came here to Newcastle. And he did radio here for 2 years.
How do I sound? Because I've got the dodgiest headphones on.
You sound? No. You sound like you're in the same room as me.
Are you sure?
How do I sound?
You always sound good.
What about me?
You sound good. Yep. You sound good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I was thinking about Lawsy during the week. Let me tell you a story about it. I've met John Laws twice.
Mm-hmm.
One was in that time where you got that photo and we got that hug thing that they did with the AI. Okay. There was another time I met him. I went to Otto's with Christy and
I thought that's the same
before, day. Before his wife died, Caroline, the princess he called her, she kissed me on the cheek, thank you, and then shook me by the hand and said, thank you for being a great fan. And then I shook John's hand and I said, and it was a great night, you know. It was like you know when you have a perfect night, one perfect day. You remember that song? One perfect day.
Funny you should say that. It came on the radio last night.
Really?
Yep.
One perfect day.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song. Maybe we'll go with. We're not going to go no. with John Williamson's True no. Blue.
No, I'll send,
is
I'll
it
send
me and you? Is no, it mom and dad or a cockatoo? Is
anyway, it standing on Julie Andrews. We'll talk about my week. My week. Because we've already talked about your week. So you sat there basically weeping about John Laws, which is, you know, it was very sad that an icon disappeared like that. But my week, I was, you know, I've been constantly not feeling good. And I thought, so, you know, I used my own witchcraft or medicine things. And so I got, what's that stuff called? Slippery elm. And I think that's fixed my digestive issues, slippery elm. But I read this thing the other day. And I'd forgotten all about it. I'd already had it before, apparently. And what you do is you get, and you'll enjoy this, Rollo, you get cottage cheese and you put into a bowl, you know, a few spoonfuls, and then you tip about, you know, just a drizzle over the top, what's it called? Flaxseed oil. And you got to get it from the health food shops. It costs about $12, but I'm telling you, you've got to do this. You mix them together and you drink it, or eat it rather, and it tastes delicious. But what it does, it creates, it actually energizes the mitochondria of the powerhouse of the cell, which our bodies are run on. It's the powerhouse that creates all our energy. And this feeds it, and it's natural. And so when I asked the lady in the health shop about it, she said, oh, my mother used to do that and my grandmother. So she knew this was a thing back in the old days that you could have cottage cheese and flaxseed oil or linseed oil and or possibly hemp seed oil. And it gives you this incredible boost. Julie Andrews, you can talk again. I just have to get that one out.
All right. Thank you.
But you will, I recommend this. I'm going to send a message to Christy to get her to buy you some. And, you know, cause you're not a fucking vegan anymore. Thank God.
Vegetarian.
You're vegetarian. But you'll cottage cheese and flaxseed oil. Every morning you have a few spoonfuls and then sit in the sun on your balcony and you're going to feel fantastic because I feel a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I've got to tell you the story. My neighbor who feeds my cats, the Blonchu, I'll just say that. Mm-hmm. Her and her husband look after my cat like, it's their own because they'd lost all their pets because they used to take on stray animals and they'd raise them. Three of them died eventually. They got so upset. They decided we're not going to have any pets anymore, but they were coming over.
Are they called rescues? Rescuers.
Yeah, they're rescuers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, her father's moved into her backyard. They put a little house in their backyard. And I've helped him out a couple of times, but, you know, I do that for, I owe them more favors than they owe me. But he came over and he said, Rick, would you like me to leave a trailer? He put a trailer in my backyard, front yard, and he said, you can fill it up and I'll come pick it up and we'll take it to the tip. And I chopped a whole lot of shit down and threw a whole lot of stuff in it. And he came over and we went to the tip and we emptied it all out. And as I was in the area where there's a big giant compactor, I was looking over and I thought, because I'm telling you, when I go to the tip, hit the tip or the dump or whatever you call it, recycle center, it's my happy place. I will always find things. And I looked over and I saw a few frames in this compactor that you're not allowed to get into. Okay. And I thought, they look pretty cool, you know. I thought, So I was looking over and there was a few people that worked there, but they were having a conversation. So I jumped into this compactor, grabbed these frames and took them out and put them in the truck.
I saw you actually.
They were limited edition prints from England. They had prices on the back.
You're a womble. You're a womble of Wimbledon, coming are we? You're classic.
They're limited edition paintings. They're like numbered prints of some well-known painter that painted cats.
Yeah.
And I've got them in my house now. They look fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome. Look. But, you know, but well, I thought Rati's favorite toy.
Why would someone throw something so cool into a garbage compactor at a tip.
I've heard stories where people go to, what do they call, when they, what's it called, when you go to garage sales or whatever.
Yes.
And you find things, you just don't know what. My mother, when she was still alive, God bless her heart, loved that show where, you know, you just, and then you buy something, you know, for £5 or £5.
A million pounds.
And it's worth $100,000. And you go, what's it called?
What was that show called?
It was called Antiques Roadshow. My mother absolutely loved that show. And look at this horse that Rosie loves playing with. We just found it on the side of the road.
Yeah,
you know, feel it.
Honestly, anyway, get this. One of the prints that I found, and I don't know if it's a print or not, it looks like an old lithograph of an original page from the Winnie the Pooh book. And it's like, I'm going to take it in and get it looked at because it could be worth a lot of money. And I deserve a lot of money. I deserve it. Anyway, that was
you
my week.
You do deserve a lot of money. That is absolutely for sure. All right, my week. I was again watching all the John Laws funeral. One of the funniest things that made me so laugh this week was Dave J, your mate. You know, you do Dave. Your Dave J show. Dave J has got into this, what's it called? The AI thing. This is so funny. When Alan Jones and John Laws are doing an arm wrestle, I said, and Veralicious, did an arm wrestle thing properly. But do you know what Dave J made Alan Jones and John Laws do? Kiss. Absolutely. Passionately. Yes. And I've been going, no way, this is so cringe.
Why do people keep turning, even though, look, Alan Jones but is
Do you remember? Because Alan Jones is actually gay.
Yes.
And apparently. John Lord was definitely not gay. He was told off by the 2UE management when he called, what was it, the queer eye from the straight guy.
Carson.
What was his name? Carson Presley. Yeah, he called him a pillow biter or something. So he was definitely definitely not gay. Well, he is. I mean, what's wrong with saying the truth? Well, obviously, a lot of things because Lawsy was definitely told off.
I see a few of those funny things. You know, it's I'm telling you, the AI thing is just, and I'm more concerned about all this other shit that's coming out with it. You know, that you can't watch the news without going, is that really him, or is that we're going into this dystopian future where you'll never be able to trust him.
It is crazy to.
I'll have nothing to do with it, and I will have zero to do with it. And you know what I've got in my house right now? I'm looking at two of them, old gramophones, and I've got piles of old. And I can sit there and play old things. So when Elon Musk came out the other day, he was. Did you hear the Elon Musk and Joe Rogan interview?
Tell me about it. I haven't seen it.
So Joe Rogan said about AI and phones, and he said, what's the future? And he said, you know how Elon Musk kind of stutters and stammers around stuff? And he said,
yeah, well, how did he make his money? He made his money on
PayPal.
What was it? The PayPal. That was it. What did you call it?
PayPal.
Yeah, it was a sort
which I said is PayPal, which is another, you know, coded Catholic thing, you know, part of the cult Catholic.
Yeah, so anyway. Him and Joe Rogan are in their studio. Yeah, what are they saying?
So this is apparently, there's a couple of ones. There's an AI one with Elon Musk, but this is off the show. And he says, well, what's going to come? You're listening
Rick and Roll 56.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. click on the donate link.
Rick and Rollo, 56, truthmeets.com, Saturday the 22nd of November, 2025. Roger, we are talking about the great AI. Elon Musk.
Yep.
Elon Musk and Joe Rogan.
So Elon said, within 4 years, all your information that you're going to be watching will be coming from an AI generator or whatever. Said the news and everything. He said it'll be AI generated, because you know about 4 years ago I remember that magazine that, and I wouldn't read it particularly anymore because half the women were all trannies. Was Sports Illustrated? They sacked their entire journalist staff and replaced it with an AI generator that just was putting out stories. Now this is going to happen to newspapers, etc. Right. But it's not going to happen to me because. Guess what? I don't own a computer. And yeah, I do have at the moment one, but I won't be listening to AI generated music.
What about your sons? Your sons own computers
Yes. I'm not talking about them. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. But Musk was, I reckon he's on the money that within 6 years, nearly everything they'll have an AI host, an AI this. They'll be able to replace the actors, the screen, the movies, the writing. So yeah. I'm not feeding the beast.
When Elon Musk said on stage to Bob Iger, who is the CEO of Disney, to go fuck himself.
Did he really say that?
And he said, Bob Iger, go fuck yourself.
Did he really say that?
He said that on stage. You can look that up.
They can make an AI of him saying that.
No, it was real. It was real. It happened. I wasn't there, so yeah, maybe you're right. There you go.
This is
see what you're saying there. You're right.
We're living in this dystopian. This is Mandela. We're in Mandela.
So crazy that we can make anything. Alan Jones and John Laws kissing one another.
Yeah,
I know personally. I know. I couldn't believe it. I'm looking at it going, Dave shouldn't be doing that. Dave was
one of the pioneers in working in Silicon Valley in California back in the 90s. So he knows how to use this stuff. He certainly does.
And so does Verilicious. You know, with the hug, me and Lawsy hugging, me and Donald Trump hugging. Yep. With that photo that you took, I tell you, exactly. Oh, I swear, those were the days. I remember I was just talking back to Lawsy. I remember one day when I spoke to Lawsy, and I said, you fucking, I said something like, you don't know what you're fucking talking about. And would you believe it? They didn't have a delay on that day.
Ooh.
So that went to air. And he was oh my God, you know, they'll go, well, you know, normally you have a 7 second delay. This is what, you know, all radio stations have a 2 second.
Not that one. It went
straight to air and I've still got it here recorded. And then he just went but he said, he wanted to say, break your fucking neck. Remember that?
Last week.
Two weeks ago, he said, I'll break your fucking neck because I got him so riled up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he held himself back. So he didn't say it. He goes, I'll break your. Yeah. Those days were great.
Anyway, is Susie there? You can come and talk if you want.
Susie, come and join us. Johnny's wrist actually.
Hello,
Susie.
My favorite thing. I didn't want to interrupt.
I like being
high on the wall. This is really cool. I like being just like a
live on air with the Rick and Roller.
Not here, but I'm here. So yeah.
Well, you guys,
what's on your mind, Susie?
What's on your mind?
What's 300, the new one?
5, 6, boom. So I have a, I was not intending to be nostalgic, but I've heard
you can be.
Well,
yeah.
So I was helping out at, I was trying to sync up these audio chats with the actual, he's got some missing links. So I was helping him link up some stuff. And I really do love Delqua. And I'm not trying to interrupt.
I met him. I went to Ireland and met him in real life. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Joe. Is it Joe?
Yeah. Joe. Yeah, remember Michael, he took me to Michael Collins' grave. Remember Michael Collins, that Liam Neeson played in that movie?
Wasn't it your great grandfather?
Yeah, yeah. No, uncle or something. Great uncle. I'm not sure exactly how it worked. But yeah, I'm definitely related to Michael Collins. Yeah.
Before I do that, Bond's gotten Colonel Knowledge. Like, what the hell? How long did he go to jail?
Bond Scott couldn't keep it in his pants, and he was a young, he was a postman. I don't know whether it was before he got it become
he
a
died, he died way too young. Died way too young.
But what category is Colonel Knowledge? What is that?
For unlawful carnal knowledge is where fuck comes from. F-U-C-K. For unlawful carnal knowledge. That's what it comes from.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because when I was 14,
I had a dude who
he turned 17 really quick. So it was kind of gross, like in terms of numbers.
Look, I remember the 70s. I remember being that young. There were girls, you know, and particularly females, are fully.
No, go to jail for that.
It's illegal. So he got someone. I guess the father took him to court.
Yeah. And
when he was in his 20s, he had to go to jail. I don't know how long he was in there. Not long, but he was in jail because he'd had a girlfriend that was, you know, 15. Mm-hmm. He might have been 18 or 19 or whatever. But these things did happen, and it was for unlawful carnal knowledge. Yeah. F-U-C-K.
Why do you think John Laws was kicked out of Bendigo? The father of the girl was a police commissioner or something in Bendigo, and he was a little bit older than her, and he got kicked out of Bendigo.
These things happen, and that's why there's so many. I'll say this now: there's so many rock stars all putting out biographies quickly, saying that they were sexually molested or something or other when they were young, to cover up, because they know that they're risking Cold Chisel was a great example. Big band that was traveling around had young girls crawling in their windows after sex, and a lot of them were underage.
Zeppelin book. They said that they were sticking dead fishes up the.
That was a live baby shark. That was in the
some crazy shit. Man, chicks do crazy things. I could write a book about all the things I didn't do. I'll tell you that. I didn't do crazy shit.
That story that you're talking about is from the book called Hammer of the Gods.
That is the book.
And so that they were staying in a hotel in Europe somewhere, and one of them was fishing, pulled in a baby shark, and one of the groupies was in there, and they used it as a prophylactic. Is that the best word to say? Without getting censored.
I remember being a baby shark. I think I blocked that out. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. There was a baby shark. Yeah. But the whole rock and roll industry and groupies was a thing, and a lot of the group, like David Bowie's girlfriend was 13 or 14, you know, that same chick that was going out with Jimmy Page. You know, all of these rock stars could be cancelled and jailed for this kind of stuff, and that's why they're all writing books furiously and saying, oh, no, I was, you know, something happened to me and or I've got brain damage.
They didn't live in the day of social media with X or...
But they do now.
Yeah, so they've got to behave themselves a little better.
What's his name, you know, the rock and roll, Jerry Lee Lewis, he married his 13-year-old cousin.
Jerry Lee Lewis. It's a classic example.
Is there a movie about that?
Not a movie, but there might be in that movie, Great Balls of Fire, that they might have mentioned it.
Oh, like a documentary, some shit.
Oh, for sure. But look, back in the old days, it was...
Can you imagine it would be such a temptation, you know, when you're a... You're a rock star. You're on stage, and young girls are throwing panties.
Name of the Dragon song, Rollo. What's the song by Dragon? Huge, big song. Are you old enough? That's right.
Are you old enough?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And they're throwing their undies on stage. So, and these, you know, 13, 12-year-old girls.
Crawling in his bedroom window because they were watching Top of the Pops and they thought that this old guy...
And they don't have enough self-control to say,
Susie can verify. She was a rock groupie top and so she loved...
You were a groupie, music. Were you, Susie?
No, not a groupie, but she loved bands.
I'm not saying no. Like, I'm not denying it. I could have been a super groupie. Man, I look back and I'm like, I should have fucked that guy. I should have done this. I should have done that. I really do.
I do that at night. I wake up in the middle of the night and go, why the fuck didn't you make a move on that chick? You know, honestly, that's what... My life's full of that, but they weren't underage. I'll just have to emphasize that. They were girls I was working with in different situations.
What is underage in America? Is it 16, 17, 18? 17. I don't know.
17, I think.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, and what does a 35-year-old man have doing?
Warren's only 17. Is that Warren?
Mm-hmm. Go.
Daddy said Warren. Too young.
I can tell you, Susie, I can tell you, I've been listening.
I never had sex ever. I never did that. Never did it.
Oh, well, you're a good girl then. You're a good girl. You kept your pants on in the right
place. I hung out with you plenty, but I never did.
Most of the rock chicks didn't. I'll just have to say that.
I remember the one time.
I can tell you a number of songs that you'd listen to now, that like even... Ringo Starr's, you know, you're 16, you're beautiful, and you're mine. you know,
yeah,
all of these
really
songs. Ted Nugent's got a number of songs that would have him jailed now, basically. And Courtney Love reckons that she performed an act of inflating a dummy type of thing on Ted Nugent when she was 15.
Gave him a blowjob.
When she was 15, that's what she says. And he goes, I can't remember any of that. But look. This was going on. And then just remember, what's the movie? Taxi Driver is about Jodie Foster playing a 13-year-old prostitute. A 13-year-old prostitute.
Yeah, really good.
So this was normal.
Is she a lesbian?
I don't know. She looks
still with us.
She's a great actress. In real life or in the movie?
In real life, she's a lesbian, yeah. In movie.
No, she was.
She was very young. She was very young, wasn't
13,
she?
13.
13, and so, yeah. Do you remember Blue Lagoon, Brookfields?
But before she was underage.
Yeah.
I know, but Rollo, before she did the movie Blue Lagoon, I've talked about this on some fakeologist show.
Okay.
Brookfields was a 12-year-old. 12-year-old, full frontal naked, and the movie Pretty Baby, and it starred, I think, Joseph Bottoms, and she did full frontal nudity, and that was kind of people went and rented it out in video, and it was hyped up, you know, that yeah, she's about an underage prostitute or whatever she was, or underage girl.
Yeah.
This was the 70s, was full of normalization of underage sex. And now, what they've done...
It was crazy back then with the movies, like back then, because it was just sexy. Because... Yeah.
You're beautiful. And you're mine.
And you're mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so but there's so also, many songs.
Yeah.
You listen to it and you go, wow.
17, that was Winger, not Warren.
Winger. I'll Kip be Winger.
Yeah.
Kip Winger. Yeah.
Winger. When you say it's funny, it sounds like a Winker. Winger.
Yeah. Winger. What John Laws calls John Laws calls me an absolute wanker.
Winger.
That is so much fun.
Susie, this is part of a deliberate thing that was done. So they allowed this kind of thing to be normalized in the 70s, knowing full well these people become icons now. That, you know, like, and all of a sudden they can just pick and choose which ones we cancel. All of Led Zeppelin would be jailed because they were going
every one of them. Every one of them.
Maybe not every one of them. But there's footage.
Paul Jones
footage
would
of,
be innocent.
Well, yeah, John Bonham.
There's footage of John Bonham and Jimmy Page. Of underage. Rollo, listen to this. Listen to me.
I'm listening.
There was a thing called I forget his name, but it was.
Don't tell me Robert Plant was planting it in.
He always had good looking girlfriends. He didn't need to, and he was kind of married very early in those days. But
good. I'm glad to hear that.
But Page was notorious for being into bondage, and you know he had a whole bag full of whips and chains, and he was notorious for carrying on. But it was called Something's English Disco in LA. If you look it up, there's footage of, I think it's Bonham and a couple of the other guys getting into a limo with a whole lot of, so apparently this whole place was full of underage girls. It was called Something's English Disco, and it was in LA. It was one of the top nightclubs for rock stars, full of underage women. And because it was on Hollywood, because you were watching Hollywood movies normalizing Brooke Shields and stuff, people just went with us, you know, and that was kind of normal back then. But now, what's the word for it when you can start destroy your heroes is the word for it. I've talked about it before, but I can't remember it now.
Iconoclasm.
So they can take out all of your heroes. So all of a sudden, like what happened to, Pete Townsend, he was almost jailed for having a computer full of.
Because he said he was doing a researching.
Righty-ho. What I always said to people that said that, I said, how about you listen to the lyrics and play Rough Boys by Pete Townsend? And listen to the lyrics of that song, which is a great song, but have a listen to the lyrics. It's, you know, Rough Boys, you know.
Whereas a band like the Pet Shop Boys, West End Girls, I mean, they were always into gayness and, you know, what do they call them? The Pickup Boys? What are they called?
Rent Boys.
Exactly. I always thought of myself as a rent boy when I was younger because I was quite attractive when I was younger. Yeah, and I could easily have been a rent boy, and I would have done it.
Rollo, you have really smooth looking hands. When you showed that picture of you with the heart monitor thing, of young looking.
My heart monitor
looked really good.
Yeah, did you see the numbers? The numbers were actually pretty good.
Really
I think
good.
They were, yeah.
But you know what other song I thought was really gross was Hurt Good.
Which one?
Take two.
Hurt
what was
so
that?
Good. Hurt so good. Come on, baby, make it hurt so
hurt
good.
Hurt so good. Yeah. Come on, Rick and Roller. Rick and Roller with Susie.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
needed. Rick and Roll.
Rick and Roll, 56, Saturday, the 22nd of November, 2025.
We're here with
Rick and Roll and Susie.
Susie, okay,
we're glad it's not such a sausage fest tonight. What are we talking about? We're talking about, you know, when we're a bit naughty when we're younger, rock and roll and rock and rollers who have abused their privilege. Now, Susie, do you ever throw your knickers on the stage to Tom Jones or?
Who would do that to Tom Jones?
I heard that was a Tom Jones thing.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what they said. I think it could have been a media hype thing that they did just to get people to, you know.
That's interesting.
But Tom Jones, I don't know if you've seen him wearing his tight jeans. And, you know, my mother
wanted to fuck him so bad.
Rollo, your mother sounds like an absolute slut. That's so bad.
Yeah, she's got Elvis Presley and all kinds of shit.
Elvis Presley had groupies. Priscilla was 15 or 14. Yeah, no, I think she was 14.
Mom, that's it.
Yep.
Oh, Elvis, he died way too young. Why the hell did Elvis not get a colonic like you got? Why he didn't get a colonic like you did?
Yeah,
and cleaned out his bowels. Yeah.
Cleaned out his internal bottom.
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. Well,
I was just having a really off day. I didn't mean to be here, but I'm very excited about it.
It's a pleasure. Susie, you've got... what we call the key to Rick and Rollo, because you've done an awful lot of research and made up some funny stuff for our show, so you can do whatever you like.
You got another thing coming.
There's more coming. I've got a shit ton in the pipes.
that's what happened. That's pardon the pun. That's what happened to Elvis. He had a shit ton in his pipes, and it blew
up. He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Do you remember, I was thinking about John Laws during the week. Do you remember Stan Zamanek, Rick? Do you remember Stan Zamanek? Oh, my God. When it came to, Howard Stern or, John Laws or, people that were so golden on the radio, Stan Zamanek was my favorite. You know why?
I don't care if he was fake. He was mimicking an American shock jock, and he was a producer.
Was he?
Yes. The whole thing was a scam, and he was just.
He was so much fun.
I knew.
Honestly, I listened when I was a twenty-year-old in my car. Yeah.
No, I'm saying he's a fake. He wanted to model himself off an American shock jock, like the one that played Jim Morrison turned into. I love that story.
Oh, okay. What's his name? Look, when I was, I don't know.
The guy that had a gun microphone that died. No. John Laws copied off that American, what's his name? That's a really strange name. He died 2 years ago. And Stan Zamanek was copying off that. Well, Susie, what was the name of that right-wing commentator, that rumor has it was actually Jim Morrison. Yeah, he really strange name. Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, Rush was fine. I was thinking Rush, but I didn't want to say it.
Go on.
Rush.
Okay. So he had a golden microphone. So John Laws had to have a golden microphone one of them was copying off each other. I'm not sure. But I love that story about Rush being played by Jim Morrison, because I tell you, they do look awfully like each other. And when Rush sang "This Is the End," he fucking sounded just like him too. And we've played it on the podcast, FART, Fakeologist Australia Roundtable.
They both had beautiful voices. Now, Jimmy Morrison died at 27, didn't he? He was very young. Yeah.
Did he die?
Well, there you go. It's like, did Elvis die? Elvis no. lives?
No.
No, my mother always hoped that he lived. But yeah, there you go. My mother was infatuated.
Actually, I want to talk about something interesting. It's funny how we were kind of told, we used to be on the Fakeologist on the Saturday night, and then we're getting people complaining, oh, they're not talking about Fakeology. They're not talking about Fakeology. Well, it's funny how we're now on Rick and Rollo, and we actually do end up talking about Fakeology way more than normal. Mm-hmm. But I've been listening, I've noted this thing, because I have got a great ear. I'll just say that. One of my ears, or both of them, and two of my children, at least, well, maybe three of them have got the same technique. They can hear songs or just a tune or a little bit of a tune and go, oh, that's from a TV show that I used to watch or a game I used to play. Now, I've been doing that for years, but I've noticed that there's a lot of versions of – last night I heard a version of because, you know, AC/DC played last night in Sydney, the winner is 100 and something thousand people there.
That's
and they
great.
Were playing that song, that really a really good song by with what's his name?
Your telling the story, mate.
Thunderstruck. Okay.
Yeah, that was 90s. Razor's Edge. Yeah.
So I was listening to it, and I was going, "That's not the version that I know." I can actually hear that at the moment they're actually putting out new recordings of old songs or different recordings. And I often hear this, if you ever go into a, you know, in a garage or you're driving somewhere and you pick up, you don't do this anymore, but you say you pick up a hits of the 60s CD and you put it on and I can hear it and I go, that's not the original version of that song. So what's happened? And there's two versions here, two possibilities. They've lost the rights to their original song because they actually sold the rights. So they've redone it and put it back out. No, did they? I'm talking about lots of different bands. One in particular is that song Yellow River. You know, that Yellow River, it's in your mind. Great song from the 60s.
Okay.
The one that they use a lot is not the original version. So because all the deals that all these poor rock stars got seconded into by their dodgy managers.
Oh, they got screwed out.
They've re-released them. They've done an almost identical version, but I can hear an original over something that's been tricked up or a newer version really easily. And I'm noticing it, and I heard it last night with Thunderstruck. The one that they're playing on the radio is not off the original album. It's a trick. It's slightly different.
Wow.
Why are they doing this?
It'd be something to do with money. Money talks. Yeah. I'll tell you, Rick, I've got a full cardboard box when I went to, and then all that money floated down and they, you know, pretend money.
Oh yeah.
Back in 1990 and I grabbed two or three of them, and I still got them. And
My best mate, Harry, or one of my best friends, Harry. Mm. He's very close with
Harry. Harry Bander. Tell me, it's not Harry Bander.
No. But guess what? His surname's V, but I'm not going to say it. They are. You know, my good friends were very close with Malcolm Young, very close. They used to go, they had keys to his
house.
Because Malcolm used to live overseas. Yeah. He's got a huge house in Balmain still that his sons and his ex-wife live in.
What a guy.
His widow. It is fucking massive. Oh, that was when AC/DC first made money, they bought this house as part of their, you know, keep making money. Thanks to the George Young telling them that, I made no money because I was in the Easy Beats. We got ripped off. He stage managed AC/DC. So Harry used to hang out with Malcolm Young a lot. I never got to meet him, sadly.
Oh.
I told you the stories about Malcolm turning up at my other friend's house and he was sitting on the couch smoking a joint with a blue T-shirt, a blue singlet, a pair of jeans and thongs on. And this, my friend's mother came in and goes, and speaking in Greek, because so he couldn't hear, she goes, Con, who is this bum you've brought home to my house?
That's it.
Why is he here? Con, this disgusting looking bum sitting here.
And do you know there's a Rolls Royce out the
out the front of the house was a blue Rolls Royce parked, double parked out the front.
Like John Lewis.
Because Malcolm loved hanging out with normal people, and he hated rock stars. And he was the guy that said to Harry that there are pedophile networks. This is in the that same year you're talking about, because they got free tickets to Melbourne and Sydney on that particular tour, and they had they were given all this cash that had AC/DC on it, and they were going to nightclubs and just showing their AC/DC cash, and everyone knew in Melbourne. Sure. They had the best time. But Harry felt they had three nights live at AC/DC. On the third night, Harry was so tight, he said that he was at the concert and it started and he fell asleep because he was so tired. And he reckons he's the only guy asleep in an AC/DC concert in the front row. Like he said he slept through the whole thing. Funny story.
Was Harry actually producing
he's just a friend of mine that was
just a that's okay. Look,
my good friend's close friend was an electrician who went to school with the Youngs and was super close, and so he introduced them to.
They're a great family, as far as I'm aware. They still, you know. I mean, like I said, the only two are Angus and Brian Johnson's not even the original. Right? It was Bon Scott was the original singer. So
I'm watching these concerts, and like Amel the Sniffers are supporting them, but Amel the Sniffers
aren't they great?
They don't. I think
great band.
There's most of it because when I got into AC/DC in '78. Well, 77, 78. I got into them because I was rebellious. I was a, 14-year-old kid. If I'd known what was going to happen in the future and that there's going to be grandmothers and families, going to see, putting devil's horns on their heads and all, 150,000 of them turning up to watch them as 70-something-year-olds.
That's what you would have done.
I would never have got into them. But Bon Scott would never have been part of this, or maybe he would because of the money. Money turns you into this slut. That's what it does. And you're performing.
I disagree. I disagree with you, Rick. I think Bon, his problem.
You reckon he would have done what he's doing? They're doing now.
He died. They say he choked on his own vomit. But it was freezing cold one night, and he had and he was a drinker. He was a drinker like me.
Stones, he loved vodka. Stones ginger wine.
Yeah, exactly. Way too much. And fell asleep in the back of a Volkswagen or something where there was no mini. Yeah. And froze to death, basically.
Age 33.
it was just so way too young to die.
My conspiracy theory is that he was so unreliable. I'll say it again. Rick and Rollo, total exclusives. Always.
He wouldn't turn up on stage. Yep. Is that right?
He was not turning up, and he was taking off. He was just
I think you're thinking of Mike Evans. I think you're thinking of Mike Evans.
Rollo. He could not keep that thing in his pants. He was sleeping with every groupie, And so Angus said the story of, you can Google it and see it that.
All right.
They were all in England. So they rang up Bond's mother and they said, can you make sure he gets on the plane? Because we're doing a recording for Highway to Hell in England. Mm-hmm. And she said, yes, this is his mother, Bond's mother.
Wow.
And so I put him on the plane.
Wow.
So Angus went to the airport. I was waiting. He never got off
the
flight.
So they sent Mike Evans and Angus.
Rollo, can you shut the fuck up? You have got no idea what you're talking about.
Say Julie Andrews. Say Julie Andrews.
Right, Julie Andrews. Okay, shut up, because you were just ruining everything. You're talking about Mark Evans. He was the bassist. They'd already sacked him at this stage. So Angus was at the airport waiting for Bond to turn up. He didn't turn up. He'd met a chick on the plane, got off in Thailand, partying hard, screwing and carrying on. A week later, Angus got a phone call. I'll be back. I'm turning up. And he got off the plane wearing only his jeans and a pair of thongs, with no shirt on. And the management had said that if you're going to get big, you cannot have a guy this unreliable. Well, mysteriously, weeks later, he was found dead in the back of his car. I'm not saying they had anything to do with it, but the management or, record companies could have. I don't know. And he died I think that's very odd to just die like that. And next thing you know, they brought in a highly professional singer, Brian Johnson, who Bon Scott had said, if I ever died, that's the guy you want to have because he's got the best voice. And Brian Johnson became the singer, and they became a professional act and made millions and millions and millions of dollars. They turned up to gigs. They didn't have like a Keith Moon type, because that's what Bon was, Keith Moon. Another Keith Moon, Julie Andrews. Julie Andrews.
Yep, right. I was right there.
Thank you.
I almost said it before you. I was going to say it about 45 seconds ago. Yeah. Yep.
But that kind of is a bit mysterious. Because when they got a professional singer.
It was crazy back then. I think the Evans guy was
Mark
he
Evans.
Was definitely he, Mark Evans was
he
I got read I read his
he
book
sing,
you gave me his book and I read it and
if Rollo, when you're forever in Sydney, I often drive, he's got an old house in Leichhardt, and it's got Mark Evans' original guitarist AC/DC guitar lessons. It's like an old house. You can drop in and talk to him because he's still playing.
I still got the Michael Parkinson book with who was the guy that drank himself to death?
I gave you that. Best.
I still got it. There, Pete. Not Pete Best. Who was it? The soccer player.
Soccer player. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is a great story. I've met so many Bon Scott,
Keith Moon. There's a lot of guys out there, and Keith Moon died mysteriously as well. But he did insult the entire Jewish community by.
I think he suicided.
No, he was killed. No. Well, no. So he'd been given.
What do you insulted the entire Judas community?
Because he had such a wild sense of humor, he bought the original Rommel staff car and uniform and had it drive around Golders Green, which is the Jewish
Rollo, shut up, doing
a Nazi salute around Golders Green dressed up as Rommel in a German staff car. And I think he died about a month after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a prank. He must have been so wasted.
Well, so what happened to him, though, this is the official thing. He was given anti-alcohol drugs that Graham Chapman helped him get on because they were hanging out together.
Okay.
Another guy who died young. And they said that he went swimming. He drank on the pills that stop you drinking and that made him have a heart attack, but it was a bit suspicious.
Rick,
you're listening
Rick
to
and Roller. Rick and Roller. Rick
and Roller. No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
in the art of conversation.
As you're listening to Good Evening, everyone, this is Rick and Roy, episode number 56. Can you believe it? On the 22nd of November 2025. And back to the host, Rick and Roy, and guest Susie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Hey, Roland Rocket Chili.
He's still alive. You're doing it well. He's still alive.
Yeah, I know. There are so many.
He does sound like that.
Like, you have such a great, what's it called? You should have been a voice actor.
I think so.
I think so too.
I agree.
Yeah. Because you have a gift.
I heard actual Klaus Schwab. I haven't heard him for years. Like actual.
Well, I heard him the other day. Hold on.
We've got Klaus Schwab on the line now. Susie, you want to talk to Klaus Schwab?
Right on. This is Klaus Schwab, the very good one.
Good day, Klaus.
Have you been reset yet? It's a question.
I haven't been reset yet, but we're here with Susie. Susie would like to talk to you, Klaus.
Susie, now can I just say this? Apparently, she has this wonderful, what's her husband's name? You're so vain.
He's in the piranha pit right now. I got sick of him.
Susie, this is wonderful news. Because you know what? He is probably a useless eater. And this is where we put him into the piranha pit. And Rolo, I'm
telling you. That would have a life insurance policy.
Rolo, my auntie would be very impressed. Hilda. My auntie Hilda. She's wonderful. She is wonderful. She's always saying to me, Klaus, why haven't you not killed your wife, and put insurance on here? And I always say, because she is putting out their milk bottles at night and she's making my bed and stuff. She said, no, you'll insure her for $10 trillion. And then she'll push her out the window like I did to my other 33 husbands, which I think is a wonderful thing to do. Anyway, Roro, I need to go because I think Ike wants to do the show, not to, myself.
Klaus, talk to Susie. I mean, we've got Susie here. Come on, Roro, I just did talk to Susie.
You just did.
So, how your spell name? S-O-U-O-U-U-U-S-S-S-I?
Yes.
Susie?
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful to speak to you, and you have a piranha pit, which is wonderful, because I am working at the moment as in a pet shop selling piranhas to children.
Yeah, Klaus, I was thinking, since Wayne is in the piranha pit, there's no way that I could be married to you, because I know that you like very open craft.
Do you wear uniforms, Susie? I should not be saying this. And are you, you need to be legal. It's L-E-K-E-L. So you need to be over, what's the age you were talking about? Over 33? As long as you're over 17. 33, you're fine. No, that's too young. Young.
That's winger.
Y-U-N-K. Young. That's too young. I have to say, because I'm being recorded on this thing. And have you ever seen me, the photos of me at the beach with that strange outfit on? That is a very weird outfit that I was wearing. V-E-R-R-I-N-G. Anyway, I need to go. Eric's coming back to this.
Thanks, bud. Thanks. Where's Rick? Rick's from the bathroom.
Type those. That whatever you're wearing off and fuck off and go get into your black helicopter. Thank you very much. Did you see those photos of Klaus at the beach? That they reckon
that's
it was a ritual.
Okay, Klaus at the beach and Trump with his ear shot and this and that and blah blah blah. AI. Those. They just made those two, Alan Jones and whatever they kiss.
Oh, you can. So this is the thing you can do. Whatever
you want. Did you see Alan Jones and me and?
My thing is, we have to think.
Hugging.
So this is the problem. The people doing this AI thing have got. They've not got. They need me to say this will be funnier. Rollo and John Alan Jones kissing. That's funny.
Oh my God.
John Laws and Alan Jones kissing, not funny. Rollo and Alan Jones kissing, way funnier. But
all of the news that we just saw for the last 5 years, I'm just being generous, 5 years.
Yes.
I mean, AI. Like, we don't know.
AI. Yep, with the I couldn't
believe Alan Jones kissing John Laws on the lips.
Because he wasn't. I think that was real.
No, it wasn't. No, there's no way those two would kiss on the lips.
You know, my favorite thing about those.
Look, I don't even want to talk about. To me, the whole AI thing. I can see where it's going. It's not part of my. I can make up. Like, what was I thinking? The other day I was driving along and I was going, take me down to the Papadam City with it. I was singing an Indian version of
Guns N' Roses. I remember that song. I remember Guns N' Roses.
I come up with Papadam City. It's like an Indian restaurant. Take me down to the Papadam City where the girls are great and the girls are pretty. Don't let me take me home. And I was singing this Indian accent and I thought, that's quite funny. You could do it. You know, Guns N' Roses Indian restaurant. That's kind of.
You know what I noticed
original.
That's totally trippy to me? Is that with the Rollo hugging John Laws and who was that? Alan Jones and what's his name? Kissing?
I met him twice.
I'll shut up.
Awesome.
So the weird thing is that it's not just like hugging and kissing. It's they have this weird 2 or 3 second affirmation at the end,
generators
for it, Rollo, to make it look more real. And then the guys, when they were kissing, they sort of like kind of looked at each other or did something to. It's like they wrap it up. It's not that they're just hugging or just kissing. They do a thing at the end to make it look like, we're really friends. That's the weird part to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Or am I just bonkers?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, you're bonkers. You're bonkers.
Yeah, no, but we're all.
You know,
we're
I was saying what you're talking about.
Do you remember Stan Zemanek?
Can you not ever bring that guy's name up because he was a fraud? So don't bring his name up.
All right. Just saying, John Laws was just always a genuine guy. He was very friendly to me.
Rude.
He was rude. When we did that whole episode with Velocet, what was it called? The one where
which one?
Honestly, the one where we played all the. You know, where we listen back to me and him talking.
Yeah.
Honestly, I loved everything about John Laws.
You just like hearing your own voice, Rollo.
Yeah, I could have done that. That could have been true too. But it was mostly talking to someone who was, someone who was famous and look, I've spoken to famous people before.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is about John Laws. When we first started doing this thing on 8 years ago, he'd lost his gig, he'd retired, come back. He was basically working on a very low end station.
Yeah, that's right. Because he left TUE and then he went to SF.
So 40 years ago, when I first listened to him, or 42 years ago, whatever it was, he was this absolute icon of Australia. Absolutely. And you actually got to see that when he died, who turned up for his funeral. And I'm talking about at least five living prime ministers or more, all the heads of business.
I always wondered if Darren Hedge would turn up to his funeral just to make sure he was dead. You know what I mean?
Mike Carlton said that about his funeral. Well, it's interesting that Mike Carlton actually said that about Stan Zamanek. He said, the only reason I go to his funeral is to make sure he's dead. I laughed my head off when I heard that one.
No, that's hilarious. I mean,
Stan Zamanek was playing the role of Rush Limbaugh for Australia.
Rush Limbaugh,
and he was deliberately playing this antagonistic guy. Because I told you, look, and I'm not joking. When I was doing security for the government, my friend of mine that was my boss, or not my boss, he was a supervisor. We'd be sitting there talking about the old days, and he'd get a phone call, and he'd go, "Oh, I've got to go." And it was, he had to go into an armed pickup to Stan Zamanek to take him back home and he had to take a gun with him because someone had threatened to kill him that night, because that's how antagonistic he was. What Stan would do was just absolutely antagonize you and call you a fucking moron. And then he'd say things like, there's no such thing as depression or PTSD
But John Laws did hang up on people with the shotgun.
I loved it
too.
Well, as I said, when I first came here as an 18-year-old and I was working for my father, he'd have the radio on, and I got to hear John Laws in his prime in, say, 83 onwards. He would have the Prime Minister. He'd have Johnny Cash.
Absolutely.
He'd have America's, all the biggest stars ringing in. I mean, he was like,
so on top of the
huge,
world.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently he suffered depression. This is what I was reading during the week.
John Laws.
John Laws, would you believe it? You know, he couldn't get up in the morning. That's why Tim Webster had to cover for him. And they had the black dog.
And Ray Hadley.
Yeah, had to cover for him because he was at the top of his game.
My real world anecdotes here, as I worked in the building industry in that era, right? And I got to meet lots of different people, and a couple of people that said to me, "Oh, I work for John Laws." And one of these guys, a Swedish guy, and he worked for a company renovating kitchens, and he said that he had to go to Hunters Hill to the Laws mansion and work for him. And he goes, "That John Laws is just a cunt of a man, just a cunt of a man. But his wife is very friendly and always, you know."
Caroline.
But he reckoned that John Laws was an absolute pig. He was rude to the staff, like, you know, unless you were someone special. He was very egotistical because a Leo is a classic example of a Leo, John Laws.
There you go. Well, absolutely. Look, I tell you,
no one's
when I met him for that second time, and when Caroline gave me a kiss on the cheek. she was so nice, and so was he. He shook my hand.
Interesting that Caroline that story that they grew up in what's that country that's full of crocodiles and fuzzy wuzzies? They both met each other when they were young
childhood. They were childhood sweethearts.
No, they knew each other because she grew up in, can't I remember the name? You know, the fuzzy one. Where was the Kokoda track?
Malaysia.
No. Keep going. I want the exact country.
Oh, look, I don't have my phone in front of me. Let me, I'm having a smoke. I'm having a smoke.
New Guinea. Both grew up and spent a lot of time in New Guinea when they were younger. New Guinea.
All right.
Yep. And Caroline was obviously a very nice person, but there's two different people have said the same thing. They both worked at the Law's Mansion, Hunter's Hill, and that he was an absolute cunt. Just like the same
word. I can't believe he was an absolute cunt.
To someone like us, that you know, the ohi polloi, the you know, working class nobodies, he was rude and an absolute pig.
Do you remember the time I said fuck on the air when I said you don't know what you're fucking.
You've already talked about this. You're repeating yourself.
No. But this is because there was no seven second delay.
We've already talked about that. Move on. I'm sorry.
He had a childhood sweetheart.
Who was Caroline?
Yeah.
And so she grew up in New Guinea, and she was I guess back in the day she was good looking. He was a funny looking bloke. You know, he was.
Oh yeah, he had plugs. He had plugs in his hair because he went bald early, like my brother.
And the fact that he had really bad skin, and so he used to wear makeup, and that's what Mike Carlton got into his bad books by bringing that up.
Okay.
He'd wear makeup to his gigs, you know, if he was getting filmed.
But him and Mike Carlton got on really well.
In those days, when I first started listening,
remember Bob Rogers and Darren Hinch?
Yes, we talked about that.
I know. When went knuckled down,
He's dead.
But you know, remember when last week we were on Fakeologist, and he goes,
2 weeks ago.
Are you sure he's not dead? Or 2 weeks ago, yeah. And do you think he's dead? I go, yeah.
No, he is definitely dead. Susie, do you remember? Did you find that original when I was I rang John Laws? The episode did you give me the number of? It was a particular episode.
Yeah. So hey, my favorite thing about the Rick and Rollo show is that it's on at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I listen to it. And I'm
Susie, what are you wearing? What are you wearing, Susie? We're asking at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I'm wearing a lumberjack outfit.
that's kind of sexy.
1-300-565-2. I'm doing that on your mind.
Yeah, I'm wearing that Monty Python. I'm a lumberjack.
I'm okay. I love it.
That's me. That's the outfit I'm wearing.
Isn't that cold over there?
What you just asked me. But
what are you wearing? I said.
What are you wearing? That's what he's
for that.
Lumberjack. It was me. I made a phone call on the second day before Laws retired. Oh, I got on air. Cheered him up. I cheered him up, and I said, "John."
The November. I just remember it was November, so it was.
Okay, yeah, that was last year, November. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I cheered him up as soon as I mentioned that song. The girls in their summer clothes. He went.
Oh, Rick, that's right.
And the fact I'm telling you, I was on there live as I was driving back to when it is in Sydney.
Yeah,
he had that queued up the minute I hung up, and we were live on air, and I heard the strains of the song. He goes, "Thanks." He goes, "Thank you. You're listening to
Rick and Roller." Rick and Rollo.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
in the art of conversation.
And you're listening to Rick and Roller episode 6. Can you believe it, everybody? And we're listening to Susie Rick. And Rick and Roller.
And Susie.
22nd. I said that, Roller. I said that.
I love that story that you cheered him up just before
he said that. He goes, Rick, that is a fantastic song. And I
because
said,
you were a bit of a fanboy, weren't you?
I rang to say, John, it's been fantastic. I said, I've been listening to you for 40 years. And they put me, as soon as I said the 40-year thing, they went, put me straight on. And without any prompting, the producers, because they called me back and said, you're ready to go. And I said, yeah. And I said that thing and I said, John, I said, one of my favorite songs was the Bruce Springsteen, The Girl of Some Kind. And he went, Rick, that's a great song. And
he's always been faithful to his, that was a Sony. John Sinclair Laws. You remember really? The funeral?
So that's interesting you would say that. Is Sinclair in his name? Because that's part of the old nobility name. Susie would know about Sinclair, I think, because they had a giant petrol station or a gas station or whatever you call it. In America. Don't know about it? Well, yeah. The Sinclair family owned the one with a big, I think it's a dragon on their logo. I'm talking about the 70s or 60s and 70s. Sinclair.
Those were our young years. Every time you say dragon with that accent, Rick.
Dragon.
It reminds me of Mark Hunter, M-A-R-C Hunter. What a talent.
Yeah. What a talent.
I know he was. And look, we know a lot of talented people. But,
What a voice.
Go, Susie.
We're just talking about, fanboy. I love Town Laws. I love radio stations. I love things. And, maybe it is a little bit crazy that I'm your number one fan. And maybe it is sort of Flight of the Conchords. But I'm really not a creeper.
Susie, Rollo and I are and Joel. Jollo, rather. We are radio tragics. We love AM radio. We love talkback shows, and we can talk about it. And we actually, I would put it up there. We are experts at the history of Australian AM and FM radio. It's because thanks to Jollo. Yeah.
I have a clip.
Go. You play something?
Now I can't find the phone where I was going to play my clip from. Son of a gun in a...
I love when you say, when a guy says, what are you wearing? And you say a lumberjack.
Rick, do you remember I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Do you remember when John Laws was on AM and on FM and you listened to him on FM?
Wrong.
And it wasn't the same voice?
No. I've said
it
that.
It wasn't.
It's not, they lose their compression.
Yeah.
And you hear their faulty bits and stuff. So FM frequency modulation does not carry well, but AM.
No.
Even Hadley had a booming voice. But me and you, we don't need compression because we've got deep voices.
I saw Hadley on Sky.
Yeah, Rick, when you sent me that video of Ray Hadley with he's wearing a babushka. Like, he's wearing a fucking babushka.
Right. Which video was that? I can't remember.
Like, whatever lady's voice. Forgive me, I don't know all the names. And you said that's where you got the idea for Hilda.
Okay. No, that's Doug Mulroy. Doug Mulroy.
Doug.
Really? Yeah,
he left the building a bit too long.
So we've lost Doug. So this year we've lost Doug. We've lost Ozzy. We've lost John Wars. Yeah, he used to wear Doug Mulroy was my to me
favorite. He made me laugh so hard when I was 17
year old. So he did the he used to do that thing with some. He used to do that high pitched voice. He'd do the Madam Zenda, you know.
Libra, you're miserable. You're gonna die soon.
You know.
Yep.
And that's kind of Doug where Hilda von Klackenschwab came from, definitely Doug Mulroy.
Doug Mulroy's work came from Andrew Denton.
The Backdrawer laughing. The Backdrawer laughing so hard. It reminds me of like how anybody would be laughing, like Golden Skin Mark would be laughing if Doug Mulroy is like.
What a guy. The Golden Skin Mark was the great. I'll put that guy's voice as one of the greatest voices.
He was a legend. Okay.
I had the wrong name, but actually. Well,
you want to go? He was such a great guy.
I'm sorry.
The kookaburras are starting. It's all happening in Australia.
I do have a clip when you guys are ready.
Susie, can you play music?
Well, no, I have a dumb. No, not like I'm going to pipe into your system or anything. But
why can't we have someone that can play music without Joel having to get involved?
I don't know.
Are we gonna go out with John Barnes?
I would rather drink urine and not my own for 5 days straight than listen to a John Williamson song. So John Williamson.
I thought John Williamson's eulogy along with Rutherford Grove. Hey, Drew Blue. Is it me or you?
Miserable.
I like that.
Depressing. So John Laws used to call John Williamson my little brother. That was his thing, and he was always on the show, and he was very close. But what I love that Dale, that you are the Rollo is
the guy with trisomy on the 23rd chromosome. What's that called?
Down syndrome.
That's right. Trisomy.
2GB. Paid for a limo to go and pick Dale up from wherever he lives because his mother died, so he's in a kind of a care place, and take him to the funeral, which is very nice. I thought that was a really nice thing because Dale was one of the great. Yeah, and when he got there was photographers everywhere, and Dale was grinning away, you know, because he'd be in his 50s now, I guess, 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
50s.
Same age as us, you know. We grew up with him.
I thought it was a really nice service, and I thought Russell Crowe, who else could you have brought in with a voice as good as him?
Rusty couldn't have done anything better. Oh, look, his eulogy was, I couldn't stop. I watched it over and over and over and over it again.
I bet you did.
Yeah, because he just had,
he loved him.
He was one of the last superstars. There's a guy called Tom Cruise, right?
Tom Cruise.
Russell Crowe is an absolute superstar.
I've loved him ever since
I saw him on Robert Stomper.
What a great movie, Robert Stomper.
And so there he is. And when he was in Gladiator and whatever, he was a great movie. Yeah.
The Golden Skin Mark said that he couldn't stand that movie. And I was always, I love any revenge movie, except that he died at the end.
Total revenge porn. Yeah. Revenge porn movie. Yeah. It was lovely.
And what was his name? What's his name? Bottom. Joaquin Bottom playing the bad guy.
Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah. He was great. He was great too.
He was the best evil, the best nasty guy.
They both deserved Academy Awards.
I think someone got one. Did anyone get one? No.
I'm not sure, but I told you the story.
I went to see 30-odd Foot of Grunt, which was Russell's band, when he first became kind of big in the 96, 97.
He played a gay guy in the very first movie, I remember.
No.
Do you remember?
That was The Sum of Us. And he played the gay son of his mentor with a big beard.
That's it.
He now looks exactly like Jack Thompson. And that was all shot in Balmain. I know every part.
I don't doubt it. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Russell Crowe is one of the last of those actors like Oliver Reed. And interesting that he died on Oliver Reed died on Gladiator. Because those two would have had a meeting. Oliver Reed was a big bully, and Russell Crowe's a big bully, a big lot of money, didn't it? Because they had a lot of money. Yeah,
because he died during filming.
Arm wrestling sailors after drinking three bottles of rum.
That's it.
Big bottles.
He was arm wrestling
sailors and doing one arm push ups on the bar, and he had
a lot of people didn't like Oliver Reed.
No, because he was big, tough, arrogant, ex army, and he said he was meant to be an elite, but he was too. His father said, "You're too stupid," and called him an idiot, and was
really
nasty to him. And he said that he had to fake his way. He was meant to be an officer in the army, and he couldn't read properly because he had dyslexia. And so he was humbled by other people, but he was when you watch Oliver Reed on a TV show when someone says something, you watch his eyes and the size of his head. Even Ozzy Osbourne was terrified by him, and Ozzy Osbourne wasn't the kind of guy to be terrified by people. But he said he came up to him and I told the story ten episodes ago.
Ozzy
was drinking at a bar off his head.
Yeah.
And he looked over and he goes, "Oh my God, it's Oliver Reed." And he was the only guy that made him terrified. And he said Oliver Reed looked at him and he came straight over and was standing next to him. And he goes, "I couldn't believe how fucking big he was." You know, he goes, huge guy next to him. And Ozzy Osbourne is 6'2". So that just shows you how fucking intimidating he was.
That's amazing.
When Oliver turned around, he goes, "I see you got some tattoos." And he goes, "Oh, I've got a couple." He goes, "Would you like to see my one?" And he goes, "I thought he was going to roll his sleeve up and show me." And he took his pants down and showed him his penis. He stuck it on the bar with a huge tattoo.
That is classic. That is classic. Hey, remember when I met John Tingle and he tried to choke me out? You.
And why not?
Yeah, remember that? The guy from the Gun Shooters Association? Before he died.
So John Tingle was on the show after John Laws.
Yeah.
So he was the show after Laws finished.
And he grabbed me by the throat.
We spoke about it one night
when we were talking with the golden skin mark. Yeah. And he choked me out. He grabbed me and choked me out.
John Tingle, the pleasant.
He didn't shoot me. He didn't shoot me, but he He choked me out when I was in my 20s or something. It was, see, these are the fun stories that you remember.
Yeah, no, but we've said them so many times, Rollo. We've said them.
But I still.
Susie, how can you be awake at 4 a.m? Are you on drugs?
Hey, man. Well, Susie.
I had a fantastic day and a terrible day. I'm having an awful.
Tell us about your day, Susie. We want to know.
Susie's probably never going to actually be live. Again, I mean, maybe I could.
No,
you're doing fantastic. You're doing fantastic. You're on the Rick and Rollo show, episode number 56.
Mm. When is that? So, Rollo, I would like to do a tribute to you.
Okay.
Man, I tried to do it before. All right. So, tell me if this sounds like shit, because I'm going to play it. You know, I don't have can't type into the thing.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
You're kind of clipping a bit. So are you on Wi-Fi?
Might be clipping a bit.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm sorry. I'm doing an ab here, but I understand. I'm totally with him. It's like when people don't have the right, it's a clipping because I know that other people are listening.
Oh, man.
We've got three listeners. And last year we had five, but two of my cats.
Rick. Do you really care that we have that many listeners? I always treat this as a, go. Go, Susie.
From 10
Nothing.
Years ago.
Same old ground.
The wall, man. No, that's not even the one.
No, that's with
I'm saying that the only song made number one was number two, part two of the wall part
of the
two.
Wall.
Yeah, it's
true. I could hear me going there. Could you hear me there, Rick?
Yeah, kind of. But Susie, have you ever heard, or you've listened to everything we've done? When I first got onto Fakeology, or started listening to Fakeology.
Oh my God, you were so low and you were clipping like a motherfucker.
Yeah. I used to listen to Fake Hoaxbusters Call, and then I must have noticed that there was a link to whatever podcast thing that I was, this is 2016 or so. Whatever I was listening to, and all of a sudden this Aussie guy started turning up. Listen, and I was listening to him, and in my head it was Rollo. I thought he was a blonde-haired surfer because I always visualized people. Yeah, I visualized the voice, and I thought this is drunk blonde-haired surfer from Newcastle. I have no idea why, but it was funny. I'd be listening to him and I go, what the fuck's this guy doing now? And he used to turn up, Rollo, on the folk when I first, I downloaded Fakeologist pod audio chats. And you'd be on there blind. This must be just before or after your mother died, playing Pink Floyd.
This is way before, all right, check this out really quick. Way before Rollo's mom died, it's going to clip, but it's just a few seconds.
Okay.
Give it again.
I remember even one time in one of the magazines, I think it wasn't Roger Waters, it was Dave Gilmour, and it wasn't our number one, it was everybody else.
Dave Gilmour, I'm talking about,
the song that used to keep playing, Susie.
I never met Dave. I never met him.
We know that. But what I'm saying, you were one of the most self-indulgent songs ever. The killer. Yep. You're listening to Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo and Susie.
You've reached. reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Rollo, you're listening to
Rick and Rollo.
Episode number 52. On 56, Rollo, on the 22nd of November.
156.
How drunk am I? Rick and Rollo.
Very drunk.
Saturday, the 22nd of November, 2025. I've had a few amogaloos tonight. On behalf of Lee Tamahori and John Laws.
You got a memory.
See what I mean?
Yeah, we've lost Lee Tamahori, which was one of your favourite movies. It is your favourite. One of your favourite movies would have to be.
One of my absolute favourites. I swear to God, Once Were Warriors is just, honestly, that's why me and you are friends.
Yes.
It was such a great movie. I honestly, miserable movie. It's in my top five movies of all time.
Yeah, I'd say that. Maybe not top five, but in top 10.
The word I was looking for last week was franchise. You know, when they try to make a franchise out of it, you know, what becomes of the Broken Heart?
What a fuck up that was.
Oh, that was just ridiculous why they tried to make it.
That was because of the author of the book, which apparently I haven't seen or read the book at all, but the author, I forget his name. Well, obviously, look at
the end of the movie. They said they didn't want to have Jake the Musk fighting Dying. With Cliff Curtis's character. What was it, Uncle Bully? And they didn't want to do that. And I go, no way. That's what made that fucking movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that movie had to have, and you said about how it was all choreographed. You know, that fight scene. Yeah, it was massive.
I'll bring it up again. The choreography was done by Robert Bruce.
He was a Scottish wrestler
living in New Zealand. But my old boss was the second they wanted him to do it, but they couldn't do it. I think he turned it down, not knowing how big the movie was going to be, because he was the guy that said, "You've got to go and see this movie." Because he said he was crying. This is a tough ex-special service.
He said it was so awesome. And the way it was his life that he grew up in New Zealand in the '60s. When Tim Uriah Morrison was punching Cliff Curtis in the face, you know, and the sound design when he was hitting him over the head with the bottle. The actual stool.
And boom, boom, boom.
Anyway, we'll move on
because we've talked about this. We've talked about this a lot. We've got to keep it fresh. Keep it fresh.
When I went to New Zealand, I wanted to go to that pub.
Move on. We've talked about this at least.
All right. Let's move on to Graham. Let's move to Graham Richardson now, Rick. You said something before we were off air before.
He should be put into a recycle bin or something.
He was a political type
who also worked on 2GB when he wanted to redeem himself, and he got a job as a radio announcer, thinking that it was going to work, and he was quite good, to be honest. I thought he had quite a good show, but he was a politician, and now I refer to politicians as below excrement. Below excrement. These people have been lying and cheating and ripping off their relatives even and whatever. And Richardson
passed away a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and they've said that they're going to also do a state funeral for him. Now, this
are
guy...
They,
is,
are they? Are they doing a state funeral?
Now, the Sydney Morning Herald, which is SMH, shaking my head, there were so many letters, and they're going, there's one guy that doesn't deserve a state funeral. That's him. He was involved with bribe. He was like another Epstein type, you know, like making sure that what they did.
He was in what was that thing that you said about what was it called? Those wet jobs where you
No. He was just a dirty politician. He was the guy. I've got his biography here.
Okay,
it's called Whatever It Takes. And that was his motto. Whatever you need to win.
So it wasn't an autobiography. It was actually a biography. Who actually.
Actually, that's interesting. I'm not sure if it's auto or it's a bio, but it's called Whatever It Takes. Yeah. And on the front, he's doing. Mm. It's got him. And he's just happens to be doing the 666 sign with the OK sign with the exact perfect three fingers above.
Yeah.
Without going into detail, and I do not talk about any of the stuff on these shows, but I know people that know who he is and et cetera.
Okay, and so he's got a dark past. Yeah. I don't doubt it.
So basically is getting politicians to go to a party and having a whole lot of prostitutes being on that particular party and filming them while they're either whatever they're doing. That's what he was into. Like we've talked about this with Epstein.
Like a Jeffrey Epstein.
Exactly the same. And then he was the dirty tricks guy in politics. If the left faction was again going this side, he was the guy that knew the people to make sure that no one did that. And as again, motto, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. And that means anything. If you need to get someone to win, whatever it takes, like make sure.
To have something over children, on someone.
Children turning up at their party.
Blackmail. Are you talking about blackmail here?
So they've suggested he is to have the same as Laws got. Now, to me, Laws was again a political whore at the same time as and a business.
My father hated John Laws. He called him a flea.
I like your father.
Yeah, I kind of like my father too. I haven't met him yet.
I like what he.
Well, he's still alive. He's Laws's age. 90.
Can I just say, John? I was going to call you John. John.
G'day, John.
Dale, are you on the line?
Have you seen, like, you know, Thailand is becoming the country I would not go to? They're actually saying that you can't drink at certain times unless you go to a certain. Oh no, it's getting like.
I remember the good days of you. Yeah. You were in Vietnam.
I was in Thailand for 5 weeks in 2009.
Yeah, in Thailand. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh man, it was nothing better than a good time.
Mushroom milkshakes and full moon.
Yeah, that's all. Chrissy got fucking wasted one time on a mushroom milkshake. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, it was just, you know, just beautiful, beautiful days. Awesome. I've got to tell you, when it came to Thailand, you know, the cocaine over there,
No.
What was that? It wasn't real. Shabu.
It's
whatever. It was. It still made me feel exhilarated.
Of course it did. Actually, while we're on this conversation, I've been talking to, and we just brought my good friend Harry up before. Mm-hmm. He spends a lot of time over there because he's got a good friend of his is married to a Thai woman, and they go there, and they actually go to the villages. They don't go to Bangkok and stuff, but they go inland. And he was telling me.
Maybe we should go out with that song, One Night in Bangkok.
No. Sorry, what was that? Did you want to talk?
Susie.
Susie. Yep. I'm kind of zoning out. I mean, man.
Are you down and out? Are you, Susie? Are you down and out?
I'm not down now. I'm eastbound and down, loading up in trucking. This can't be done. We got a long way to go. It is showtime. You guys know me?
It's 4 o'clock.
I'm not down now. And neither are you, Rick. Rick, you're not down now.
Loading up and trucking.
Do you know how much John Laws was worth just when he died? Do you know how much he was worth?
$200 million.
At least. Oh, it'd have to be. Rollo, he would have, just property values alone. A house in Sydney.
I'll tell you $300 million. I'll tell you one of the funny stories. Okay, listen to this, Rick. When I met him in... It was his Rolls Royce, and I jumped in, and I was there with his steering wheel. This is a crazy shit I used to do. I sat in his Rolls Royce because he was so obviously so rich. He was inside doing, you know, just before we had our cuddle, you know, that cuddle thing.
Yes.
And then the chaser boys put a fucking calf or something in the back of his car and shit all over his back seat.
Can we move on from John Laws? I'm over it. We'll do another half an hour, but we're not talking about John Laws anymore.
Right, no more John Laws. No more John Laws. But
he's now pushing up when daisies.
He is pushing up daisies. That's a good song. Push up the daisies. What song are we going to go out with tonight? I'd love to know what we're going out with. Because I wanted to go out with True Blue. Hey, True Blue.
I actually sent Jell a few songs, but I think there's a song by the Walker Brothers, which is about going and dying. And that was a song when I rang John Laws the first time and I got on and got on with that.
What did you talk about?
Girls in the Summer Clothes. I was going to ring him up and on the last day because I know that he would have loved the song because he used to play it all the time.
Mm.
And it's called No Regrets by the Walker Brothers. And I thought that song is kind of sums him up and also sums you up a lot too, because it's kind of.
No regrets. What was his name? The Australian captain of the cricket team.
Do you know the Ashes?
No regrets.
Have you been watching the Ashes?
No, I am. I don't watch. The only sport I watch now is baseball. I'm a huge baseball fan.
Before, look, let Susie talk. Susie. Sounds like she's going to bed soon.
Susie, you got something to say?
She might have gone to bed. She's probably asleep.
Ooh, have we outdone Susie?
It'll be 4 o'clock in the morning. And that woman, there she is.
Yeah,
I'm flying the wall.
Okay. That was an AC/DC.
That is AC/DC.
Yeah. But what?
Go. I talk all the time.
Cramp sock. Human sock. The F-L-Y. Say buzz buzz. Because it's a cramp song. The cramps.
My favorite cramp song is Does Your Pussy Do the Hound Dog?
Yeah. Does Your Pussy Do the Hound I love the cramps. I saw the cramps a bunch of times. Right,
and he died young as well. He died young.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why I love you guys, because I can relate to you, even though like I'm not always live. Oh my God, I'll never be live. Maybe for 5 minutes. I just had a really good, the most fantastic and awful day ever.
Like, tell me about the awful bit.
Best day ever.
Susie, get the awful bit.
I don't need to talk about it. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know why? You know why you can relate. You know why you can relate to us? Because you're the same age as us.
No. No, she's not.
Pretty much.
She's 6 years younger than you, Rollo.
She's about age.
11 years younger than me.
No. I'm 11 years younger.
Yep. You're 50. I'm 61. I cannot believe that I'm 61 years of age. Look, Rollo, I've been dying the last 2 weeks. I was about to die at least a week ago. I was telling my Rollo, you'll love this.
No.
I went to a job. This is the problem. I've got so many good clients. And I went to the job yesterday, and they've been overseas because they both retired. They both work for State Street, which is one of the big, it's the third biggest corporation. It's BlackRock, and State Street. And they're both retired. They've got money. And anyway, they've been living, they've just been in Greece, Portugal, Spain, and living it up for 6 months, and they got back, and the husband, right? Well, they're not married; they're together. They've got a Brady Bunch family. She's got her kids, and
the Brady Bunch.
He, get this, Rollo. He's in the music like us, big time. Mm. He got seats at Iron Maiden about 3 months ago by a friend of his. Said, look, my mate is the works at this particular stadium. We can get into the big box, like the best fucking seats you can get. $3,000 for the seat. And he showed me the footage. $3,000 for the, it was £1,500 for the seats, which is always double. It could be more.
That's awesome.
It was right above where they were playing.
It was maybe like $200.
Yeah, that's $200 for a normal seat.
Steve here pointed at me. He pointed at me, and I was like,
fantastic. And today, Rollo, this is the anniversary, 10th anniversary of Paul Di'Anno's burial today. Paul Di'Anno.
Paul Di'Anno.
Interesting.
Yeah.
He was my favorite singer.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Paul Di'Anno, what did he do? He did a cover version of
Women in Uniform.
Women in Uniform of Skyhawks.
And a lot of other good songs.
Kill the King will blow your fucking brains out.
Paul Di'Anno was a pain in the ass to be around.
Was
Kill
he?
The King.
That's what I heard. Yeah. I mean, Kill the King, there are certain people that you want to meet in real life. But called?
Paul Di'Anno.
Yeah, Paul Di'Anno.
My favorite singer.
He wasn't as good a singer as Bruce Dickinson. Who took over from Paul Di'Anno.
Well, I'll tell you this, my favorite ever song of the New World Order of British Heavy Rock, whatever they call it, was a band called Samson. And Bruce Dickinson took over the vocals afterwards. But the first singer, Nicky Moore, had the best voice ever, and they did a song called, I'm telling you now, we're going to go out with that song.
Yeah.
And it is an awesome song. It's Samson doing the song. It's called Losing My Grip, and it's about a guy living by himself.
Do you want me to look it up and send it to Samson,
Losing My Grip, but it's got to be Nicky Moore singing it because that is so good. You're listening to
Rick and Roller.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. The formerly unemployed. No, sorry, I'm ready. No, Rollo, shut up. Rollo. Rollo, I'm doing the bump her, B-U-M-P-H-E-R. This is Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. I do this.
The piranhas actually killed
Rollo. I'm going to ask you once more before I send a black helicopter. The napalm, the whole suburb, this S-U-P-E, whatever, where you lives, L-I-F-F-S.
All right.
On, so this is 50 Zigs. No. This is 50 Zigs episode of Reckon Oral on the 22nd of November, that's N-O-F-F-F-E-M-P-E-R of 2025. Gotta go.
Thank you, Klaus Schwab. That was, honestly, to have
Hey, Rick, where were you? Where did Klaus Schwab go?
I was going and putting my makeup on, well, adjusting my wig. I was going in there to adjust my wig to make sure it's sitting properly.
It was so funny.
You know, one day we were talking about this American chick that used to listen to the show all the time. I forget her name. And she said to me, she goes, there's a guy on this. Because remember we used to press the camera and talk with our cameras on and our faces visible?
We might have.
And she said, I don't know, but there's a guy there with a really bad wig. And the corner was me, and I went, that's not a wig, darling. Just a gal. That chick, just a gal. She was convinced I was wearing a wig.
Just a gal.
That was back about at least 5 years ago.
We had so much fun back in the day.
Yes, we did.
You know, every time people drop off the perch, Rick, where people drop off the perch, like, you know, John Laws and, you know, all the famous people that we, you know, it just makes that world a little less colorful. I used to love the days where we had colorful characters in our life, even though we never met them. No. I met John Laws twice, and I met the princess, and you know, it was just an honor to do that. But it is terrible when we lose, you know, the people that have really done, you know. You remember when you were talking about AC/DC, right? Malcolm Young, right? When we lost Malcolm, and we lost the drummer?
He's in New Zealand. Phil Rudd. Why have they not got him drumming? I would go look if he was there. I would have gone. There you go.
Yeah, get Phil back doing the drums. Because he was amazing. He was just amazing the way he could hit the drums.
I swear to God.
I've got something in the corner of my eye when I'm thinking about, you know, John Laws.
I have a fun story about Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, dude. Who
was the lead singer for Thin Lizzy?
Phil Lynott.
Yeah.
So we were on the highway.
What was their biggest hit? Thin Lizzy.
Boys Are Back in Town. Rollo, come on, please.
The Boys Are Back in Town. That's right.
Can I, before you tell your story, the guy that I was talking about that went to see Iron Maiden, he is he's Irish, and he met all those guys. But his best friend, who I also met at his house, was a drummer who is very good friends with Brian Downey from Thin Lizzy.
We have a tangled web of people who know Thin Lizzy in my neighborhood, like my friends, aunts, cousins. Like this weird Thin Lizzy thing going on around here, which I think is really funny.
They were a fantastic band. They were fantastic. And to me, Brian Robertson, who is still alive, the only member of Motorhead. Actually, no, there's a drummer still alive. Hey, my favorite album of Motorhead is called Another Perfect Day.
I'm so sorry.
Another Perfect Day, like what we were talking about.
Yep.
Perfect.
That is the best one. Yeah.
I can still play the album because I remember Lemmy going, Lemmy said, I actually had to learn new chords and he felt more, you know, confident. You know, he loved that album. But all of a sudden, about, you know, the last 20 years, he said, oh no, it was just a joke of an album. That album has so many good songs on it. I love it.
Are you talking about Lemmy Kilmister, Ace of Spades? Ace of Spades.
I've actually got on my notes here to talk about Phil Taylor died 10 or 11 years ago last week, you know, the drummer, the original drummer. I had no idea.
Last week, it was 11 years ago. I'm with you.
Yeah. And Filthy Animal Taylor was my favorite drummer. But I had no idea. So apparently he had a terrible addiction to amphetamines. And because he looks so terrible. Like, he's the same. No, he's 2 years older than me. So he died at 63. That was 10 years ago. So, yeah, wow. So he was 10 years older.
It's not a bad age. It's not a bad age.
I know.
No, it's too young.
It's too young. But he was addicted to – even Lemmy said Phil is hanging out with the wrong people doing the wrong drugs. And this is Lemmy that was into methamphetamine for 50 years. Yeah. So whatever.
What did Lemmy live till?
60 something or other. But
can I tell you a story really quick?
Yes, go.
Go for it.
I'm going to go with July 2013 in Germany, and there's a big music festival.
Yeah, I know the one.
Wacken
something or other. Yeah.
Yeah. So Wayne's band Solace played there.
Oh, so Wayne plays music. You haven't this, Miss Susie.
Oh my God, no.
You have never told us the story.
No, Wayne plays in a band.
You need to tell
yourself
about you. You're so vain. I've just come in the room and I'm a bit drunk. I've been drinking schnapps all night. And I just hear the sound.
That's Mrs. Klaus Rob.
His auntie. I did not know that Vane was playing in a musical band.
No, Mrs. Klaus
Rob.
Shut up, Roro. I will kill you. I will come and marry you and then throw you out of the balcony. He did my last 33 husbands.
Let Susie finish the story.
Okay, go away. Sorry, get out of here, you silly old woman. Susie, you never told us anything about Wayne being in a band. How dare you not inform us?
Did I just fall into... how dare you? That was that bitch's name.
No, that was that Hildeborg Krakenschwab. Just came in the room drunk.
Wayne's amazing. Yeah.
What does he play? Does Wayne play the bass or the guitar or the drums?
Guitar. He's lead guitar. He'll blow your fucking head off.
Far, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Have you told Fast Value this? Does Fast Value know that Wayne was a guitarist? Because Fast Value is the most interesting. He's into guitars.
But, you know, time schedules and all that crap.
Gibson's. Yeah. Gibson.
There's almost no way that everyone can talk to each other around here as far as Wayne's schedule. Almost. So, Rollo talked to Wayne.
I heard about that. Yeah, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Rollo won't remember any of it, though. Rollo won't be able to recall any of it.
Are you kidding?
It's almost a waste of time, except for the Rick and Rollo show.
No. The way it works is when we listen back to our call.
Oh, so hey, my point was at that. It was, Wacken.
It's Wacken. You're right, 100%. Yep.
It's actually, in German, it's Wacken, okay?
Wacken, yeah.
So at that place, Motorhead played, but they had to call it quits after, like, three songs. Like, Lemmy couldn't hear.
Was that with Mickey D and all the other?
And that was in 2013 of... Yep. July.
Very boring. Wow. Very boring back in those days. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it already was being apparent that this is not working, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like.
And he was sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he died the same year as David Bowie. It was Lemmy and Bowie. I mean, because no one thought that Lemmy was ever going to die. That was the whole thing, and I've always gone about this. I said that, but I guarantee you now,
he's never gonna die.
He was definitely taken. Like, I was there in 1983, front of stage, and my friend Wayne, that's his name, Wayne, was taking photos with his little Kodak 110. That's 11 for you out there. That's what they call it, Kodak 110. And we got the photos developed a week later, and we were going, what the fuck is the matter with this guy's eyes? His eyes look like little pyramids. They were like sticking out.
He was probably wasted on
methamphetamine.
You reckon he was?
I mean, I've never seen eyes that look like that before. Like, we were going, is there something wrong?
Hey, Rick, do you remember when the guy from Metal is anything? What was it? I think he's still with us. I think he's still alive. I'm talking about the concrete and the clay guy. What was his name? Martin Plaza, right?
Martin Plaza.
He put his arm around my wife and wanted to take her to a room.
Yeah, we talked about
a hotel room.
The lead guitarist for a particular band was very, very keen to take her off to a room as well.
Yeah, that's right. So I put my arm around Martin and I just said, look, you're a very talented man, but I can't allow this.
Did you say you could sleep with me?
No, I said it. I said it very friendly. He hugged me just as much as, you know, when John Laws hugged me.
Okay,
same deal. Yeah, but it was Martin Plaza, the concrete and clay.
We'll end that. We've talked about, but that's interesting. Mm. So Wayne is a guitarist. Wayne has been in bands. We didn't know the story. Susie, you've been very cagey about this whole thing.
Yeah, Susie. Yeah, tell us about Wayne. Come on, Susie.
Go on.
He's now a postman, the heavy metal postman.
You don't know the story. You haven't been listening.
Okay, keep talking.
Yeah. I'm going to give you the kindergarten version or the rated X version. Which one would you like?
Give us the rated X.
Holy shit. Already been through all of that. I've already been labeled. I've already outed myself. Yes.
Hey, but I'm more impressed with Wayne. I want Wayne.
Oh, no. He's amazing.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with me. Holy shit. He has nothing to do with me and his guitar skills. But his brothers they were all really tall, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, so tall. I'm going to play basketball. And he was like, fuck you. I'm playing guitar.
Excellent.
So
Wayne's 6 foot something or other, isn't he?
He's 6'4".
Wow. And you're 5'2" or 5'3". What do you say? You're 5'2" or 5'3"? 5'5". This must look extremely interesting when you guys go out together. Does he have to bend right down to talk to you?
Hello.
I can say more dirty things.
I've already heard all the stories, guaranteed.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Together for almost 23 years, so fantastic. Whatever. Of my dirty stories are from before. You know, I used to be like, on drugs and life is fun. And that's mostly what I was talking about. And I I'm really happy about all the
drugs.
Glory.
Drugs do make. I'll verify. Drugs can turn a normal Saturday night into a great Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Yeah. 100%. So now I'm like a boring old lady, and I'm just like,
Susie, I have to go through this every day. Susie, honestly, I have to sit there dwelling on my memory. When I go to bed at night,
I wish I was more of a slut. Like, man, I should have.
Yeah. No, I agree. I remember being on the door. So a guy came up to me at the gym one day and he said, We need a guy like you to stand on the door. It was an advertising agency. This is way before I did security. This is like when I was 23 years of age. And he said, can you come in? And he goes, we're going to put a real chick next to you. And I thought, nothing of it. And I had to go through the psychiatric center that Nicole Kidman's father was in charge of, and also Aldous Huxley's cousin that was full of dodgy things. They'd hired a hall in the middle of this Roseville psychiatric center. And I was standing, and they said, I got there. And I can tell you some horror stories of how I got there, but when I finally got to this place, and that beautiful New Zealand girl that was working, was their receptionist, was me and her had to stand at the front of this place handing out tickets to the people that were coming into this particular, their Christmas party. And me and her just hit it off like you'd not believe. But I decided I'm not going to be a slut anymore. That's the way I describe it. And I had a girlfriend at the time. I had a girlfriend at the time. And me and her were just talking. We went and had a dance together, or dance, whatever accent I choose to say.
She said,
should we go for a walk? And I was like, I said, yeah, we should. And then I suddenly had this guilt thing that came and goes, you've just gone into a relationship with another girl. You cannot be that same person that you've been for the last 6 years since you started being a naughty boy. And I took off and I went home. And I honestly often wake up going, what the fuck were you thinking? Why didn't you just go for a walk with her? Because you and her, not only were you attracted to each other, you were perfect for each other. And I just let us look, honestly, this is one of my regrets big time, Susie. You're listening
Rick and Roller.
Rick and
No matter what you say, You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Okay, yeah, so Rick and Rollo 56. Yeah, the.
On a slut.
We were talking about it. How much of a slut you are. It's classic. We're here with Susie. And Susie,
I regret not going for a walk and having some fantastic fun.
Mm.
To this day, and that I'm telling you, that Rollo, this is 40. Was it 40 years ago? Yeah, 40 years ago.
Oh, probably. You're 61 years old now.
Yeah, so it was 40 years ago. So I was 20, I was whatever it was. Honestly, I lie awake and I regret my not being more like I was for the previous 5 years.
Faithful is the word you're looking for.
Yeah, I became faithful that night and I regret it because that relationship went nowhere, absolutely fucking nowhere for 8 or 9 years. And if I'd gone with this chick, maybe something would have happened and we've still been together. Who's to know? Who's to know?
That's right. Who's to know?
What a great show. Susie telling us.
I mean, man, there's nothing I won't talk about, but I do get what you mean. Yeah.
It's true, though.
I get what you mean. Like, when you're trying to be faithful to a person who sucks, you're like, why did I do that?
Why did I do that? Why did I do that? Look, this isn't the only one. I'm like, honestly, as a 61, I have so many regrets. Maybe we could change the song to No Regrets.
Look. Hey, Rick. Don't regret. Don't do it.
No, Rollo. You need to reevaluate your life and go. And I think all legends and mythology kind of says this, that, you know, you get a chance to look back on your life. Yeah. And I'm telling you, I regret not. This girl, me and her, were getting on like. Absolute. She was beautiful.
It's betrayal. It's betrayal. What you're talking.
I decided I'm not going to be that sleazy guy. And yet, what I lost was the chance that I could have been with someone that I really did get on with. Mm. And I'm telling you this. I've got multiple stories about this thing, and that's what life's about. You got to look back and go, why did I do that? And I could just do this all night. Yeah. I'm not going to, but I could talk about all my regrets.
I do that. Why didn't I do that? It's not about regretting things you did. It's about regretting things you didn't do.
You didn't do. And that's me.
Yeah.
So many times. Look, I'm lying in bed and I wake up and I go, something this menial
Rick, I'm glad you didn't get plastic surgery and do anything.
You were the one that said I had crow's feet and that I needed to go and get plastic surgery. And I said I was going to go to the butcher and ask them. No, I'm joking, kind of. But you did say, "Oh, Rick, this is what Rollo." Look, Susie, if you ever meet Rollo in real life, what he does. Instead of saying, "Oh, good
I'm
to see you," go, "Geez, you look like Jeffrey
Belden.
You look like
with the long white beard.
Hey, Rollo, can I just say, I put up because I'm going to be busy in the next couple of weeks. I put my Christmas tree plastic one up today because I thought I'm not going to have any. I can't be bothered doing it.
It's
in my lounge.
Your kids are a lot older now, aren't they?
Yes. Oh, they're fantastic. Yeah. What fantastic children.
What great kids you have. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I think we should wind it up, but actually, maybe I should return. No, I think we should go with that. I love the song Samson. losing my grip. It was one of the best. The new world of British. What's it, they call it? NWO.
We're going to do a Nazi.
WBASD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The new world.
Yeah.
It's okay. Great. Are we going to do an after show or?
I think we should go now because
I still want to talk to Rollo.
Okay.
Let me talk to Rollo for 15 more minutes.
We're going to end it with one of my Julie. This is a
don't
great
say Julie person. Andrews.
No, I'm just not going to Nikki Moore, the lead Samson, which actually, when he left, Bruce Dickinson took over. But it's just a really good heavy rock song from 1982, I think, 1982. So we'll say goodbye and thank you, everybody. And Joel, a one, a two, a three, Samson, be told, 100%. Boom. Okay, you can talk away. After show.
Now we're in the after show. See how that works. Joel will play Samson there.
Yep.
And now we're in the after show.
Can you remember how long we've been talking for so I can send him the message?
I'll give him the look. The guy is absolute expert. He's an expert. Yeah.
I know he is. I do not want to make him have to go through and scroll through.
I know, but I'll help him out.
What we call the show, we're going to call it
That's a good point. What are we going to call the Tonight Show? It's got to be something about John Law's funeral.
No. Oh, yeah.
It's got to be something to do with Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe, his wonderful eulogy. I swear to God, I'm not kidding.
I've been here the whole time, and not trying to
Susie, you're a welcome. You're a welcome guest. You are.
Hold on. Yeah. I was trying to think of what you guys were talking about. I was even taking notes, but
I always take notes. Look at me. I've got my notebook in front of me. I've got all the notes right in front of you. Do you want me to go through the notes now? Rick and Roller, 56, Saturday the 22nd of November 2025. I've got State Funeral, Russell Crowe, John Williamson. So why did I put John Williamson there? It's probably something like, are you a cock to Crowe, cash for comment? And then plugs his movie, which is absolutely hilarious. The Lawsy and Crowe were neighbors. They had a massive, so that's awesome. Lawsy buys a one-year-old Charlie a bottle of Wild Turkey. He mentions that in the eulogy. It's just eulogy.
Roll it, get it okay. Right. Eulogy.
Yeah.
Don't you think that was one of the funniest movies ever? Zoolander.
Oh, Zoolander! That's right, with the Jewish kid. What was his name? The Jewish Siegel. Kid.
No.
Zoolander. I remember
Mr. Costanza's son, whatever his name. Martha must be listening because he sent a song title to go out with.
Man,
for some
dude,
reason,
he's the best
I'm
voice.
Dying to hear
anymore.
What was that? Sorry.
So good. Why doesn't Marfa talk anymore?
Well, he could actually come. Because we kind of always say it's women. He's pretty free to. I'm actually going to do.
Hey, Rick. How many times?
Tomorrow Rick afternoon, Hammy. I'll be doing a Rick Be Told show.
Yeah,
tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'll be doing a Be Told show.
Rick, how many times have you been hung up on the radio? You spoke to John Laws. Did he hang up?
Did he hang up on you? No.
No.
He thought I was fantastic.
Yeah, I remember the John Laws. But it wasn't. I remember the time you talked to Con.
No,
John
you
Laws.
Have no. Oh, Roller, I've you have no.
I've got it recorded here.
That was another time.
I promise you. I've got all my John Laws.
Okay, Rollo. I went on there and I blew smoke up him, and then I said, "You've got to play this." And he said, "Rick, that's a great song," and he pulled it on straight away. You're talking about the time that
that's
I was
right. That was the now I got it wrong. I always thought it was now. I thought it was
Brian Adams.
Not Brian Adams. It was I always thought it was Bruce Springsteen.
It was Bruce Springsteen.
The girl.
Oh, sorry. Rollo,
I thought it was Roxy Music. Brian Ferry.
Okay. Brian Ferry. Really bad drunk.
Mistake. It's a mistake. We all do mistakes when we do that.
I don't know.
He played Bruce Springsteen because he was an ad man for Sony. Sony was one of his biggest sponsors. He was happy to play,
and he was there at the funeral too. What's his name? Same guy, you know his name.
I reckon Darren Hinch would, if he could get out of the hospital bed, would go to his funeral just to make sure he was dead. You know what I mean?
It's a sick sort of joke,
but that's there are people that have said I've gone to their funeral to make sure they're dead.
Because they just
didn't get on well together. I don't think Darren Hinch and Lawsy got on.
Look, to be honest, Darren Hinch and Laws are both a couple of cunts that I would not piss on if they were on fire. I'll just tell you that. And I'm telling you, and I would say most people would agree with me what I just said if they knew who you're talking about.
Did you see Dave make Alan Jones and John Laws kiss?
I repeat myself
all the time.
Yes, you do.
Because if I don't, people like you will forget. Forget about the good days and the excellent days.
I don't forget.
I've got to tell you, did I tell you about how Channel 9 fucked up with the audio?
Rollo.
If I don't repeat myself, Velocet, if he was in charge.
Jolo,
if he was in charge of that funeral audio, Jolo would have made it perfect.
Yeah.
Because I've decided, executive decision here,
I'm going to send Jolo another song. Mm. So we'll just keep this as the original first show.
Sure.
And forget about the Samson song, which I'm going to do. Maybe I'll do a Be Told show. But I reckon No Regrets is, because I know that Laws song big time. And that was the song I was going to go on there the second time. Say that again. The Walker Brothers, No Regrets.
Mm.
It fits in with you as well. It's about someone that's, I think it's a way better song.
That's so, the song to go out for.
If you're out there, ignore it.
As a tribute.
Yeah, you have to John Laws. John Laws. And you. This fits in with you. Look, I'm telling you, I know a great song to end with the show. So forget about ending it with Samson, which I love, but I might do that on the Be Told show.
If you can change your mind,
I'll be on this tomorrow night. I'm going to do a Be Told show.
I guarantee you, I will listen to it. But we're going out with, let's not forget to say goodbye to Susie.
Susie, who's wearing a Lumberjacks outfit in bed. That's kind of different. I haven't thought about that before.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
I don't know if I'm on mute or not. I was kind of zoning out. My hair? I'm wearing a lumberjack and I miss on trees. And in the end, I'm some sort of transvestite.
Roller, sorry. Now you haven't got the voice for transvestite. I'll just have to be a verify you're a different. Yeah.
There's no AI here. We're all real.
Man,
so we're gonna go out. Are you snoring or burping?
We're going out with
No Regrets, and this is Rollo singing to John Laws.
All right.
Rollo, I'll talk to you again.
All right, mate.
Hey, we'll speak again, Susie. Susie, you need to go to sleep, darling. Go to sleep.
Yeah.
And we didn't know that Wayne was a guitarist. I'm
probably
really
a meme.
Fantastic.
I've heard you say darling to other hunts.
Don't darling me. Well, I haven't used that word. I'm telling you now, I haven't used that word properly for at least 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 or 7 years. My ex went to see AC/DC last night, Rollo, and apparently it was fantastic. She didn't say that, but I asked my son, did Mum enjoy AC/DC last night? And so she just traveled. She's just been 6 months all overseas. Isn't it amazing how women can better themselves as soon as they split up?
Hey, Rick, I was definitely leaving, but you've just got me back into it. The AC/DC, right?
Yep.
AC/DC is, you know, just my favorite band of all time.
Yeah.
And I looked up everything we spoke about. It's, you know, losing Bon so early, still having Angus with his white frizzy hair is just beautiful. And Cliff Williams is still in the band. And
is he sure about that?
Yeah,
Rollo?
And they. Rollo,
are
they
you sure?
Yeah, I did. I looked it up, and the drummer is not our mate from New Zealand. What was his name?
Rudd.
I fucking loved him. Phil Rudd. Phil Rudd, who sadly got onto the crystal meth, and
he's fine. He's doing concerts in New Zealand. There's nothing wrong with him. He's always been doing speed. When I was a roadie. What was the most common drug? It was speed. Everyone did it. It was just goey, they call it. Right?
Yeah.
Big deal. It's not like heroin or anything like that. It just makes you run around a lot.
Yeah. Mm. I'm glad to hear that.
We'll go out with No Regrets. Sorry,
No Regrets
by the Walker Brothers, which I say that this... Because I know that John Laws loved this song.
All right.
And I love it too.
God bless.
I love it too. God bless. Hey, Rollo, I'm going to go. So be told.
God bless, John Laws. Thank you, Susie. Thank you. We'll be back at Rick and Rollo 57 next Saturday night.
Next week. Yes, we will. Be told.
Okay, mate. Love you.
Kiss. Mwah. Mwah.
I know it's too long overdue. For far too long I've had nothing new to show to you. Goodbye, dry eyes, I watched your plane fade off west of the moon. And it felt so strange to walk away alone. There's no regrets, no tears goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry. Say goodbye again. The hours that were yours echo like empty rooms. The thoughts we used to share I now keep alone. I woke last night and spoke to you, not thinking you were gone. And it felt so strange to lie awake alone. There's no regrets, no tears goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry again. Say goodbye again. Our friends are trying to turn my nights to day. Strange faces, a new place, can't keep the ghosts away. Now just beyond the darkest hour, and just behind the dawn, it still feels so strange to leave my life alone. There's no regrets, no tears goodbye. I don't want you back. We'd only cry again. Say goodbye. Tears goodbye.